And that's it. Paris Saint-Germain are through to the semi-finals of the Champions League. They win at Anfield yet again over two legs in the Champions League. Liverpool, especially in the second half, really give it a good go. I don't think that any of the players can be faulted for the effort they gave in the second half. Two goals from Ousmane Dembele in the second half late on. One in stoppage time to seal it, to make it 2-0 and 4-0 on aggregate. Ekitike going off on a stretcher in the first half, a real blow. There's two big moments for me in this game. It's a case of if onlys, and we have to say that because the boys give it everything second half. The first half, the chance when Kirk has a shot, great save by the keeper. Van Dijk is certain to score, and the clearance by Marquinhos, the captain, is unbelievable. That's a goal if it's not for him. And then McAllister goes down, penalty given, VAR say no. If that's awarded, it could be different. But Liverpool 0, PSG 2.
Liverpool battled hard at Anfield this evening, but it was not to be. 2-0 to PSG on the night. Ousmane Dembele with the double for the visitors, 4-0 on aggregate. Luis Enrique's side progressed to the semi-final of the Champions League. I'm Harriet Pryor and you're listening to The Reaction. Coming up this episode, we'll hear from Arne Slot as well as Florian Wirtz. But let's begin with some analysis from former Reds Phil Thompson and Jay Spearing, who joins me after the full-time whistle at Anfield. Jay, it's gutting, isn't it? We were sat inside the stadium. We had momentum in moments. We come away feeling very defeated, don't we?
Defeated, flat, but probably half proud as well. If I felt that, you know, the game plan, you could see the team went after PSG to start with. We put them under pressure. The fans are right behind the team. I think you have to give huge credit to the fans. I think they stuck with them right throughout. The atmosphere was electric. And then, you know, we grew into the game. We kept it. We had a little bit of a tough period towards the end of the first half, which I thought we dug in really well to keep it at 0-0. But second half, you know, I felt for 25, 30 minutes we were on top and we only looked, it only looked to me like there was going to be one team to score. And then that killer blow of obviously Dembele going down the end and being as clinical as he is and as world class as he is. He's put the ball in the back of the net and put us a little bit too much to do. But overall, yeah, really proud. I felt we give it a really good go, but we just fell short tonight and it's a disappointing end and a disappointing time to go out of the...
It was that risk, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Reward and risk in the second half. Because in the first half, it was a boxer. Both of us were sort of trading punches. And then just that 10 minutes before half-time, I felt like we were hanging on a little bit. We were making mistakes. People weren't wanting the ball. And it was nice to see the changes. The changes impacted straight away. And I thought it was a great spell for us. We have to score. You have to take advantage of that. You could see the stats absolutely swaying because they had more possession in the first half. They had more shots in the first half. And that just started to go. And with Jay, I thought it was a glorious defeat, if you want, because the boys absolutely put everything, the reward, the risk, we were going for it, and you get it with their two sucker punches.
Let's break down some of the key moments. Phil, you mentioned that them really going for it. You could sense right from the get-go, it was a different vibe, a different feeling about the team to the first leg at PSG.
It wasn't. We had that one great chance, didn't we? We had the skirmish. I think it was a Virgil who got the chance, and Marquinhos gets the block. And you thought, this is only going to go in the back of the net. Even if there's a ricochet, it's going to go in the back of the net. That was a big moment. The penalty decision was massive. Was it a penalty? Yes, we could all say we've seen them given. In the Premier League, they would have stuck with the referee's decision, without a doubt, because this fella, I wish we'd have had him over there last week, because he didn't sort of play to the crowd at all. But in that decision, I thought, great, this is going to be it. And then when it overturned, it's just a bitter blow at the time. And then as you see with Rio has that shot, the goalkeeper spills it. I don't think he actually knows what he's doing, but he actually holds on to it. They go up the other end and score. So the big moments just didn't go our way.
Yeah, before that though, Jay, there was really positive moments for Liverpool, and particularly early on, Mamardashvili comes back to his goal line, gets that incredible save. There was chances that just felt like the final moment was missing. What did you see that was giving you confidence as we went into half-time?
the confidence that I took into half time was the fact that we kept some of their stars very quiet. I think they looked like a completely different PSG team to me. I thought we didn't allow them to find a rhythm. Okay, there was moments where they broke out of the press and they were able to make a couple of passes and get up the pitch. But I don't feel, apart from the moment you just mentioned where Mamad actually had to run back, I don't think, and it's mad to say now, but in the first half especially, Dembele was quiet. I think he wasn't. Neves didn't really have control of the game. Vitinha didn't have as much control as he normally does in a game. Mendes went off. Hakimi wasn't as influential down the side. So I felt as a game plan, Liverpool kept most of PSG quiet without them really causing us too much issues. I know they had a lot of possession-based stuff, but it was we were still in the game. And we were able to win the ball back in real good areas. In possession, again, I think, could we have, on transition, been a little bit more of our detail of our pass and our final decision-making? You know, but that's trying to find small margins of where we could have done better. But as I say, I agree with Tomo. As the second half came and, you know, that momentum shift, it was all Liverpool for me.
But it was we had good possession. We were getting in good positions and we just weren't able to finish it. When Dominic had a couple of times on his left-hand side, we don't pull the trigger. You know, you can get massive deflections. We spoke about it before, on the show before, and you just felt we didn't take sort of enough chances then. Ryan had a couple of great shots, really should be hitting the target from them. Thought he was very influential, breaking the lines in that second half. But I thought we did really well. We give it a good shot. We said if we're still in at a half time, this is not over. And you just felt the more we were just pushing and pushing, we were just maybe going to get caught out at the back.
You mentioned there some of the shots we did take on. Do you feel there was a sense of trepidation, maybe a few nerves? They didn't want to get anything wrong. They didn't want to waste opportunities.
That is a bit to play, isn't it? When you get there, you're trying to be too precise. Said before the show, at times, a lot of this season, we're trying to score the perfect goal. We're trying to want twos in and around the box, play somebody else in, and we're trying to sort of walk the ball in instead of somebody just, even a toe poke or something like that, is giving that opportunity and catching somebody by surprise. It's hard to sort of to have a go because, as I say, we did so well the second half, but we had to score when we were so on top.
Jay, in that first half as well, Hugo Ekitike going off injured. We spoke so much pre-match about the excitement of seeing the three huge summer signings playing together up front. Huge blow, not just for tonight, but in general for Hugo Ekitike and for us as well.
Yeah, it seems to be, you know, a couple of steps forward and a huge one back for Liverpool at the minute. I feel that, you know, the injuries that all our main strikers have picked up have been more like off the ball. Obviously, I know Isaac was obviously on the ball stuff with a late challenge coming through from Van der Ven. But, you know, Hugo's look, because it's off the ball, you're probably more concerned. You know, if it's a 50-50 tackle, you can look into it, you can see the dynamic of it. But because he's running and he's on his own, that's the bit that I'm worried about and I'm concerned about. And it will be a huge blow because, you know, when in the summer when there's huge talk of different players coming in, he's hit the ground running and he's been unbelievable for us this year. You know, he's a very young pro still. You know, he's come from a different type of game, you know, in Germany, and he's had to adapt to the Premier League. And I felt that he's grew as the season's gone on and he's been our main striker. So everything crossed, it's not a bad one. But, you know, them ones that are out of possession and on his own, it hopefully it's not too bad.
Him more than Alex in that first half, he was very good with his control, wasn't he? Turning and causing them problems without getting sort of too many shots in. But you could see they were wary of him, the way how he glided in between. And it was such a blow because we were watching them. We've got, oh my goodness, there was nobody near him. And he just buckled. And you thought you just don't like them. As a footballer, they're the ones off the ball and you just go down. So let's hope it's not as bad. I know it's looking that way at the moment, but fingers crossed.
Yeah, obviously had a knock-on effect on the changes that the manager could make later on in the game as well. But if we look at the half-time substitutions, Gomez and Gakpo brought on, Frimpong and Isak went off, Jay. What impact do you think the boss was trying to make and did it have the desired outcome?
I've probably expected Isak to go off around that time. You know, it's his proper, I think the most minutes he's played is probably 20 minutes. You know, 45 of him with the intensity of the game that it is. All right, he didn't have as much of the ball as he would probably have liked in that first half, but he did run hard. You know, he pressed hard, he worked hard. So 45 was probably the right time for him to probably go off. Gakpo, I felt, came on and worked really hard as a nine. You know, it's not his first natural position. You know, he tried as much as he could to be that vocal point to win flick-ons, play. He had a couple of shots that did test the keeper. And then obviously the fourth one with Hugo going off, Mo came on. I thought Mo made a huge difference. I felt he came on and done really, really well, Mo.
Mo had a fantastic game.
I did. I thought he was influential, yeah.
He really had a good game. And I thought the changes helped impact that second half. Yeah. What we're talking about, how good we were in that spell, needed to score. But Joe coming on, I thought... Because I thought Jeremy had lost a bit of confidence. I don't know whether he's picked a niggle up. The worrying thing is with Joe, because the changes, Joe went back off, and you're thinking, yeah, oh my goodness, yeah. I don't know. And you could see the doctor sort of talking to him down there. So I don't know whether he's got a niggle. But him and Cody, I thought, were good impact substitutes. Made a difference at that time. Joe was aggressive. He was wanting to go forward with the ball. And you got to say, you know, the boss got that one right, because Jeremy looked as though it was like sort of the game was too big for him at that point. And I thought the substitutions were great.
I'm hoping, I mean it in the nicest way possible, I'm hoping that the Jeremy mom was more of a tactical change. And I mean that, you know, as nice as possible for Jeremy, that it was a tactical change more than an injury one, because to go and lose Jeremy and then, like Tomo said, to lose Gomez... after he come on at half-time, 20 minutes later, and then obviously seeing a doctor speaking to him, you're hoping you haven't lost both of your right-backs leading into, obviously, the games coming forward.
Yeah, 100%. Phil, you were mentioning there Mo Salah and how impressive he was. He played only 59 minutes out of a possible 180 across the two legs against PSG, but played the most balls into the box, had the highest XA, so... expected assists. God, the stats really didn't come to my head then. Second most touches in the box and third most chances created of all players for both sides. So you can see how much of an impact he tried to have on the game, and it was successful.
And do you know what? You're coming on a sub when he most probably thinking he should have started. But his attitude when he came on was just, I thought it was top class. He wanted it. You could see he was rushing for the ball. And I know it's only little things, but when you're doing that, you get the crowd on board. Instead of sort of saying, oh, well, he's going to take it and everything. Mo was hungry for it. And I think that showed in his play. He looked as though he wanted that result more than anything.
Yeah, in terms of that period after half-time, Jay, we sat next to each other and we said, we've got to capitalise on this, because there were so many good chances, so many that come to mind. There was a really nice one, wasn't there, when Salah played the ball across to Kerkez, who felt like he should have scored that one. Gravenberch, you mentioned, had a few from outside the box. Gomez, we thought, could have got his first Liverpool goal. Was that the period you felt Liverpool had to get a goal if they were going to go on and turn this around?
Yeah, I said it a couple of minutes ago. I felt that there was only, for me, from start to second half, to, I know it's like probably for 20, 25 minutes in all them instances that you just mentioned, it only felt like one team were going to score, you know, and especially in that second half period. I felt that we were fully on control. We had attack after attack. You know, we locked down the game really, really well. Even when the ball's gone in the box, as soon as it came back out, we were able to regain quickly and go exactly again. You could see, not the confidence draining out of PSG, but you could see thinking, oh wow, what's happened? They were getting sucked into the cop, and you know, the atmosphere helped with that as well. It drove the players on. The substitutions obviously helped as well. I just felt that everything was going our way, and you know, football's a tough and horrible game sometimes, and we sucker punched down the opposite end. But you had a real, really positive period. We should have capitalised.
I thought Kerkez, when he got to that ball, got caught in two minds. When it's gone there, he's not gone for goal. And he's not, because Cody Gakpo was there for it. Because as I think it was Mo, wasn't it? Played it to him. And I don't know where he was going, but he was nervous. And Cody was like after a tapping. If he'd have seen him, pulled it back, it'd have been like a cute goal. But it was neither. And of course, it drifted for a goal kick. But I thought Kerkez had a real positive second half.
Should we talk about the penalty decision that was overturned? Then 64 minutes in, McAllister brought down by Pacho, and Liverpool thought they had a penalty. Jay, it was overturned. I mean, obviously, we didn't have the ability to see replays and close-ups, but from what I was hearing, that it was a bit of shock that it was overturned. It didn't feel like a clear and obvious decision. What were your thoughts on it, having only seen it from
seeing it live? I'd have said that it probably didn't fill me with confidence that we were going to get it. Obviously, we see it so quickly from the side, and you know, it was difficult to say. It looked as if McAllister was maybe already on his way down, so I'd have to see the replay. I'm judging just off a quick reaction. I also felt that the referee was blocked, but he made the decision. Now, you've probably seen over many Champions League games that the rules are completely different to VAR in England and the Premier League. So in England, I think in the Premier League, if I'm right, probably the VAR would stay away from it. The referee's made his decision. You know, he doesn't see it as clear, as obvious as much as it is. But with the FIFA one, for me, I feel as if it's one where they just take charge and they're getting told to jump in. And if they feel that anything is the smallest thing wrong, they're taking over it. So it worked against Liverpool. But again, listen, I'd have to see it to clarify, to say if it were for me, it was a defo or not.
Because last week, I felt that really we got away with one last week. We spoke about it before the show, before the game.
With Canate.
Because I felt like Canate had took his thigh first and then got the ball. So he was already going to the ground. And I was thinking, he's not going to overturn this. When he was sent to the monitor, I thought, well, he is. Because, like, why is he going over there? Similar thing tonight. Maybe it was a bit soft. But again, I was hoping that this referee might have been a bit different and looked at it and gone, no, I was right in the first place. He has. He's been clumsy. It's maybe not the worst tackle in the world, but he's been clumsy and he's not made it. But it wasn't to be. That was the big turning point, because that frustrated us, but that gave them a lift.
There's probably still about 20 minutes to go as well.
That gave them a lift to think, it's our night.
Was that the point for you where the momentum shifted?
Yeah. It was then that we started taking even more risks. We were throwing people forward. Things were working. When it goes in your favour, all those second balls and challenges, the ball was falling for us. Because all their influential players were not getting a kick. They weren't involved. You know, and I know Dembele scores two. But you go, yeah, I'd had a kick all night. But that's the thing. You're in the right place at the right time. The second goal for me is just us chasing the game. But I think we were really unlucky with the penalty. Yeah, a bit of you says we were lucky in the first place. But to me, referees got to stick to the guns.
Element of frustration as well started to creep in, particularly when that penalty decision's overturned. You start to feel like things are going against you.
You probably scrutinise things a little bit more, but you probably look back as a whole collection of the 19 minutes and could the referee, okay, he did have a good game, you know, as an overall one, but there was a lot of time on, like, you know, the throw-ins, the goal kicks, things were taking an extra long time. And after that instance, you know, you could see the players' frustration, the clock was going down, you know, there's a bit more urgency, they're trying to go after things a little bit more. Yeah, you know, it is frustration because, you know, you've worked so hard for 70 minutes for opportunities to come. You haven't seemed to score. And then, you know, you're thinking, right, time's running out. We've got to try and do a little bit more. And then the game gets more expanded and open. And it becomes a little bit of an end-to-end game. And Liverpool find themselves open. And, you know, against a top team, we've been punished.
Yeah, we absolutely were punished. 72 minutes in on the counter-attack. And it only takes a player like Dembele a moment, a tiny bit too much space, and he can harm you. Was that the difference tonight? They just had a player full of confidence able to take a moment like that?
Yeah, and I think so. We're pushing for the chance. You feel as though it's coming for us. If there's anybody going to score, it was going to be us. So we're taking more risk, stepping out. And I think you just get punished for the two goals. And he is a decent finisher. Maybe Mamardashvili could have been a little bit better. You've seen Rio's one, which has been in the corner, and the keeper fumbles it, makes a save. This one with his left foot, I don't know. I don't know whether he actually caught it too well. But when Mamardashvili is being caught a little bit unsighted and goes down too late. But it wasn't in the corner, that was the only thing.
And then Dembele gets a second in stoppage time as well, Jay. By that time, is it, you know, you're trying too much, you do leave yourself a bit susceptible to players like that on the counter and on the attack?
Yeah, listen, as Liverpool, I wouldn't look too much into the second one. You know, I totally agree with Tomo. I felt that, like, you know, we found ourselves 1-0 down in the game, 3-0 down in aggregate. The game was wide open. We were going for a consolation goal. We were still attacking. We were showing that, you know, the desire to go forward. We had runs going forward, people playing forward. We played exactly the same way right the way throughout. Yeah, and we've been done on the counter-attack. I wouldn't look too much into it. You know, the tie was, I don't mean it nasty, but the tie was pretty much done by that point.
It very much happens in football.
It does at any level.
One team and you are pushing. First one's gone in, you're pushing. We just want to get something out of the game. So people are chasing all over the place. You've got more chance of losing one on the break.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it's like, two versus one. you're hoping that maybe one will have just stepped offside, but the balls were, the first one was good, and then the second one, I think it was Barcola, wasn't it? Plays it in, and you're looking like that, and you just wasn't to be.
Lots of positivity though, Jay, to take from this one moving forward. A huge game we know coming up at the weekend. I want to touch on Rio because he came on and he provided a fresh energy, didn't he? What did you make of his performance?
Listen, in possession, Rio, there's no question his ability is there for everybody to see. You know, he gets you off your seat. He can pick a pass. He can come inside. I think he had two big moments. He's cut inside on his right foot and the keeper's made two decent saves. He brings life to the game. You can see the trust that the players have in him, because, you know, they're giving the ball as quick as they can. You know, if it was a young boy coming on and he didn't trust him, they'd go the opposite side all the time. But between him and Mo, you know, it's quite even of who they give the ball to. So they trust him in his ability. They leave him as well to go 1v1 again with the trust. But it's another learning curve. It's another learning opportunity for him. You know, he's played at the highest level against one of the best teams in the world for me. And he's got to take it as a learning thing. He will learn moments to go down the outside, come inside. Yeah, he's growing every day for me. And he's pushing the manager and he's pushing the players in front of him for the shirt. And that's all he can do.
It's given the manager a big choice to make for the derby. And again, as I was saying, I don't think he'd have been intimidated by if he'd have started today. And I think exactly the same if we've got to go to Hill Dickinson. I think Rio would be up for it. But because of the injuries, and has this one got a nick? Has that one got a nick? There's a few decisions to be made, because if we have, I've got the problems with the fullbacks, does it be Dominic going to right back again? And you don't really want that. You need him, that energy in the middle. But we've got a few days. Thankfully, it's Tuesday to Sunday. Mm. So it's got a couple of extra days rest.
What do you make of Gakpo's performance when he came on?
That's what I'm saying. I thought the two substitutions, I thought Cody did all right. And he looked hungry. Yeah. He looked aggressive, which he's not normally like that. But he was there. He was trying to get in. He was putting his foot into balls. I thought he was a decent cameo that second half.
That hunger was absolutely there, Jay, wasn't it? And when we know we've got a Merseyside derby coming up, we've wanted to see fight from the players. That's exactly what we saw out there.
100% it was. And that's why I said before, earlier on, I felt like a real proud fan of like coming away from the game. And like Tomo said, it was you never want to lose a game of football. We never want to get knocked out of Champions League, a quarterfinal level. But if you are going to go out, you want to send the fans home, you know, half happy that, you know, you've represented them in the right way. You've represented the club, you've represented yourselves, the fans, in the right way by giving it everything that we can. And then what an unbelievable opportunity the weekend, like we did after the first leg, Fulham for the next
you
one.
You heard the fans at the end, they were singing "You'll Never Walk Alone," yeah. Got interrupted with their second goal, and they carried on singing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it showed that they appreciated it. There's no booze there tonight. I don't think there was any booze. So they realised that, one, we're up against a good team, but we put on a good show.
Yeah.
We were unlucky that second half. Could quite easily have been different.
Well, exactly that, Phil, because you mentioned there the team that we're coming up against. There's not really much shame, is there, going out against the reigning European champions, a team that are going to be very hard to beat in the Champions League again this season. And what we wanted to see tonight was an improved performance.
Oh, absolutely. It's night and day from how we played last week. We've given them a proper game today. We've made some of their star players look ordinary. You know, even Cavascalia. Him as well. I've been desperate to sell. Just call him a Georgian.
You're not going to have to say it again anymore tonight.
He was oblivious the second half. Mm. He literally, and he was the one I was more worried about. Dembele never got a kick. Doué hardly got a kick. And I just felt as though we'd sort of got ourselves back into the game. And we did have some of the performances, because it was hectic, wasn't it? We were talking, we were watching, we were thinking, we need a bit more control there.
It was frantic.
Their press was incredible. The players, although they didn't play well, the front players in the first, they were like that. Poof, they were swarming all over, it was making it hard. Their energy levels are fantastic. They are a good side. And defence, midfield and up front, those rotation, those three in midfield, are absolutely terrific. And they're quick. The quick over that first 5 yards. We only have Ryan who can do that. He can go past people and leave them in the wake. They've got like that good low centre of gravity and they turn and get away. They're a good side. Them and Bayern, for me, are the two teams.
Could Liverpool have been a little bit more positive at times with the ball, because at times it looked like they passing backwards and that was PSG's trigger to go and press?
Yeah, it's difficult because, you know, the intensity of the game, it looked electric, it looked fast, it looked quick. There's going to be some moments where you're probably going to have to maybe play backwards just to try and build and try and give yourselves, not a breather, but like you say, passing backwards for them, that's their trigger to jump. And you could see as soon as any ball goes square or back, every single player from their team just jumps and jumps and jumps. And even their back four, when it goes back to Mamardashvili, their back four are nearly already on the halfway line before you've even had a chance to go, you know, get a build up again. So yeah, Liverpool going forward, I felt that we grew into the game. I felt that with them going man to man, Once Vert and I think Mo kind of like flicked between rolling inside, that created an overload in the middle of the pitch, which helped Vert get on the ball a little bit more and caused them an issue and allowed Kirkes to get down. And even in the first, I think it was 20 minutes, probably like Frimpong down the right hand side as well. So there was a lot more positives from last week, I would say, going forward than there were.
I thought Vert was very influential tonight, sort of in those pockets he was getting in. We were probing and all of a sudden things were opening up for us. We were leaving one-on-ones with Mo or with Rio when Rio had come on, and it looked as though there was times we just never had that final ball that you could sort of pick somebody out for a clear opportunity. They made some great block tackles, and the keeper also made a couple of good saves.
Yeah, and if we think further ahead, we're not going to be playing PSG or their calibre of team every single week. What can we take from this one? What's the key learning that you carry forward, particularly looking to Sunday?
I would think we've just got to believe in each other better. We've got to have so much more sort of confidence just to try and finish things off a little bit earlier, not try and walk the ball in, trying to play balls into feet and everything all the time. It's just to have a shot of something. Oh, Mo Salah, come inside, just whip one to the far post.
I think like his goal on against Fulham, I think he took it like a bit of a snapshot, if you know what I mean. He took a snapshot quickly rather than taking 2, 3, 4 mm-hmm. touches. I think if you're inside the box, can you find half a yard? Can we finish or get a shot off and go forward?
Yeah, well, there was another game going on in the quarterfinals tonight, the all-Spanish affair, of course, between Atletico Madrid and Barcelona, with Atletico going into the game 2-0 from the first leg. And it was a bit of a barnstormer in the first half at the Metropolitano. Lamine Yamal and Ferran Torres gave Barca a 2-0 lead after just 24 minutes. That made the tie 2-2 on aggregate, but soon after, Ademola Lookman restored the home side's lead 3-2 in the tie at halftime, and that is how it stayed. Barca went down to 10 men late on, but it was Diego Simeone's men that progressed. And tomorrow night then, it's over to Arsenal at the Emirates. They are 1-0 up against Sporting, and then there's the mouth-watering contest over in Germany. Bayern with the 2-1 advantage over Real Madrid. I mean, Jay, when you look at some of those results in the Champions League, what are you thinking? Who are you backing now that sadly we're not in it to go on and do it?
I felt if we didn't progress tonight, then for me, Paris Saint-Germain are probably the favourites. I think if you look at probably Bayern Munich as well, I think Tom mentioned them. I think they're probably the two that really stand out for me, you know, as a team collective and as a whole. I think they're probably the two favourites. I watched them against Real Madrid and I thought they were outstanding as well, by a Leverkusen.
I agree. I watched that one, Jay. Bayern Munich playing against Real Madrid, what a game it was. It was just incredible. And I think for Bayern Munich over there, sort of to come out on top, I just thought was unbelievable. It was a high quality game. So, but I thought Bayern Munich are a lot stronger in each department. And I mean physically, they were good. And that's why I think that physical side right through might outdo PSG.
Yeah, and do you think PSG are going to be the most difficult team to beat, or do you reckon Bayern as well, Jay?
I don't think you can look past PSG for me. I know, obviously, you say, like, you know, the set pieces and stuff. I felt like we caused a few issues to them tonight on set pieces. I understand, obviously, Tomo's point of view, but I think the athleticism and the speed that PSG play at sometimes when they want to play, I think it's electric.
Yeah, you have to think it's not as hard, the French league.
And they get a rest as the weekend
is. Exactly. And they might have about 6 or 7 extra games at the end of the season, playing each day in the French league.
I'll give you two a bit of a break now because we can hear from the boss. Arne Slot has been speaking at his post-match press conference.
Hi, Arne. looking at the stats tonight, it was 53% possession for yourselves, 21 shots to their 12, 5 on target for yourselves, 6 on target for them. They made 29 clearances compared to 14. Just wonder what those stats say about the way your players competed tonight, and also potentially what level you feel that this group can get to as well, what indication it gives of the level they can get to, whilst recognising, obviously, you'll lose Andy Robertson and Mo in the summer.
Oh, beautiful. A lot of questions in one. I think we made a lot of progression compared to last week. I have to give a lot of credits to the players, how hard they worked. I have to give a lot of credits to our fans, how they helped us tonight to execute our game plan. And that means if we have a high press, it's so helpful if there are fans behind you to keep on pushing you. That's what they did. Unfortunately, it's one of the many examples of this season where we weren't able to score from the many chances we had. Again, we were so far underperforming in terms of XG. And that is just an ongoing thing with us throughout the whole season. And add to that, as it seems to be a bad injury, we don't know sure yet. Add to that another intervention of the VAR, which went not in our favour. And that's also not for the first time this season. Then, of course, we are very disappointed because I think there were parts in the second half where you could just feel if we can score now, this is going to become a special night. And but the future looks very bright for this team, for this club, because we've shown that we can compete with the champions of Europe in our stadium. To be the dominant team, not many teams can be dominant against the Paris Saint-Germain and generate so many chances as we did. But yeah, chances is one thing, scoring is a second.
What do you make of that decision to overturn the penalty? Because the argument is obviously clear and obvious. Was it clear and obvious for yourself?
I think probably last week we've had too much luck. And we ran out of luck today. So last week there were also two incidents where we might have been a bit lucky. Although the first one that was overturned by the VAR, there was clearly no contact and the ball was played. The second one could have been a penalty, but if you don't give it a referee, I don't think a VAR should overturn it. And today, in my opinion, and I've conceded a few of these penalties this season, and I could name them all for you, but starting with Brentford away and Leeds away, where yes, there is contact, but you would never give a penalty for this. But yeah, if the penalty is being given, usually VARs tell you, I see contact. So yeah, then the decision should be the on-field decision. I should support that. But yeah, I wasn't surprised, were you? You've seen a lot of our games. You're a fan of another club in this city. So, but I wasn't surprised that this went against. But that's not the story of the game.
I'm surprised, given that there's contact, that it's overturned.
Yeah, me too, but not when it comes to us, because this has happened to us multiple times this season. I think it was Rodri or Bernardo Silva who said that they've been very unlucky with referees this season. I heard them saying this 1 month ago, something like that. Then I thought, oh, if you can say that, then remember the both games you played against us, how many decisions then went against us. So what does it tell about us if they already think it went against them? And but it is what it is.
And you mentioned Hugo. What's the early indication? Was it an Achilles injury? And also, was Joe Gomez injured when he came off?
No, he wasn't injured, but I wanted to make a different substitution. And then he said to me, I'm not convinced if I can keep sprinting. I feel a little bit, so I think it's better to go off than not to take the risk. So yeah, then I think that was my fourth substitution. Just so then to keep someone on that might get injured out was never a smart thing. So I had to change the substitution. And Hugo, yeah, I think we all saw the video and the clips. That doesn't look good. 88 minutes till tonight. We could play with Florian, Alex and Hugo. We added 27, 28 to that tonight. And I would be surprised if we can add a few more minutes to that this season. But the good thing is, Alex is back.
Yeah, sorry, on Alex, you said the good thing is that he's back. I mean, what did you make of his performance? Was he sharp enough for a game of this size? And was it a bit of a gamble, sort of hoping he'd get back to his best?
No, I said before the game that if you go to extra time and you play in the second half and he plays 45 minutes, there's only 2 minutes in between before extra time comes up for half an hour. And I don't think that was realistic, but to play him 45 and let's see at halftime how he feels, to add 5 to 10 minutes to that was a possibility for today. But because we already had to make this first substitution in the first half, I didn't want to make the second substitution 5 or 10 minutes after halftime. That's why I took him off at halftime. He was twice close to a goal, and that's why you play a striker of his level, because there was one header from a set piece, and there was one great run in behind Pacheco, where he was really close to scoring, which eventually was offside. So it's good to see and to have him back. And I think he was ready. If I thought he wasn't ready, then I wouldn't have played him.
Hi, Arne. You've mentioned again that your team missed so many chances, which is very obvious. Do you have any explanations? Is it a lack of patience, a lack of precision, a lack of concentration? Is it like maybe too desperate to score goals? What is it about?
No, it's difficult, but one of the reasons to play Alex and Hugo is because they have proven to be goal scorers. So I don't know what it is, but it is part of our season this season. But of course, part of it is also that Alex haven't been available, because it is one proven goal scorer in the Premier League as a number nine that I have in my team. It's of course Alex, who scored so many times for Newcastle. But I think if you look at the finish of Dembele, I think Rio had the same shot 2 minutes before. Very good shot, by the way. Very good save of the goalkeeper. But the Ballon d'Or winner scored 2 minutes later a great goal. And that is sometimes you have to give credits to this particular player, Ousmane Dembele, who finished that chance off really well.
Well, yeah, nice to hear from the boss there. It's interesting you spoke about how Anfield was rocking, Phil. The players really did try to harness the power of it, didn't they? And if imagine we went a goal up, how that play sort of felt and how PSG would have coped with it as well.
The fans were great. You could feel they were with them all the time. They were sort of... You keep having chances. You keep creating chances. We had to dig in the first half, because at times, particularly that last 10 minutes of the first half, you could feel... So we got in at half-time, 0-0. You could feel it. Everybody was there. And then the energy that the fans created in the second half, we were on a roller coaster. We were going, as we've always felt here at Anfield. And it was a shame, as Arne just said then, we didn't get what we deserved at that time. We're sitting in it. I think you were sitting behind us and saying, you've got to score. We've got to score in these moments. And it just didn't happen. Some big moments in that second half, and it didn't fall our way.
Does the scoreline for you then not reflect the performance?
No, it's just 2-0. As Jay said, the second goal, you discount that. That's just, we're all pushing. We're trying to get a goal at least back. And I think it is a bit harsh on us completely, especially with the big moments were all ours rather than for PSG.
Jay, he was talking about the decisions there and how things have just gone against us at times this season. Does it feel like when things are difficult, sometimes you just don't get those decisions going your way?
Yeah, and I said it before, I feel as if, like, you know, we go a couple of steps forward and we start to find a little bit of form or find a little bit of rhythm, and something happens and then we get knocked and then we go backwards again. And you can look at that as decisions, you can look at it as injuries, and that's exactly the same thing tonight. You know, for 60, 70 minutes, we've done incredibly well. Fantastically, we've lost one of our main strikers. Again, you know, the manager clearly is worried about that one. And then, you know, the VAR one where it turned over, and like you said, if it wasn't given, he wouldn't step in and say, you've made a mistake, go and have a look at it, you know. But the referee's made a decision, he's clearly said there's contact. I haven't seen it back, but I'll believe the boss, and I think I should have had a penalty then. And then that's a completely, you know, the momentum that we had in that moment. If you score, well, fingers crossed, we would have scored that penalty. It's, you know, it's always ifs and buts, but the momentum that we had, the crowd was up, we were getting drawn into the cop end. You know, PSG started to think, oh no, what's going on here? It could have been a completely different outcome.
Yeah, well, we can get some more reaction from inside the dressing room now, because Florian Wirtz has been speaking to Pete.
Well, Flo, you gave it everything you had tonight. It was just one of those nights that maybe wasn't to be.
Yeah, tried everything. I think the whole stadium was on fire. The fans, big compliments to them. We tried everything from the first minute, but we needed that one goal to get the turnaround started. And we were just missing the goal. That's football. And you don't score goals, then you don't win games. So
21 shots tonight. Sometimes when you are on top, it's important to score that first goal. I think the lads were aware of that tonight, that the first goal was going to be crucial.
Yeah, for sure. I think when you are 2-0 down from the first leg, then you just need one goal at best in the first half. So we tried everything. In the first half, it was a bit more difficult to create chances. And then the second half, we got some good chances, but in the end, there was the little thing that missed in the end to score the goal. And that's frustrating, but we have to take it and move on.
It sums up so much of the bad luck this year that we've been denied, seeing you and Hugo and Alexander Isak on the pitch together, and to see him go off in pain and injured kind of sums up so much of the bad luck that this team's had this year.
I feel very sorry for him. I hope it's not too serious. I hope he can come back soon. It's always good to play along these guys. But we came also here to win things. So very very disappointing that we couldn't make it today.
It's painful to go out, but you want to be back in this competition next season, and that really demands a strong finish to the season. Now you can embrace the power that was inside Anfield tonight and the performance too.
Yeah, for sure. The focus goes complete to the end of the season for the league. We have to play Champions League next season, and we owe this to the club, to the fans, and we will give our best like we did today. Hopefully we can make the top five.
Well, Florian, they're talking about making the top five, and the Reds can't dwell too long on the outcome tonight. The big games just keep on coming, and the Premier League, of course, returns this weekend. It's just the small matter of the Merseyside derby and a first visit to the Hill Dickinson Stadium for Liverpool. Phil, Everton have European ambitions of their own. This is going to be a big battle, isn't it?
Oh my God, yeah. the Evertonians, oh, they're so looking forward to this game. Oh, you're coming just at the right time. We're in great form. Listen, this is wonderful. I know we're going to be down, but it's one of those games where you know you've got to step up again. You've got to go, because this is Liverpool Football Club. It's a big derby. It's the first one at the Hill Dickinson, and we need to go there and be prepared, because it's going to be a battle. Their fans are going to make it a cauldron of atmosphere. They're enjoying a good season, and they want it to be a little bit better. We've just got to be ready for it.
Yeah, they built a bit of momentum recently, Jay. Two consecutive clean sheets, and of course that 3-0 win as well in their last home game against Chelsea. David Moyes has spoken quite openly this season about it taking a little bit of time to adapt to their new stadium, but he said that's the most home it's felt. Are we going there possibly at a negative time, but also to prove them wrong?
I think when it comes to derbies, I think Tomo's played in plenty of them. I've played in a few where I think form goes out the window, if I'm honest. You know,
Does it really?
I think so, yeah. I think it just comes down to Liverpool v Everton on the day, who turns up the most and who plays well the most and wants it more. And I think, you know, there will be, you know, as the years have gone on, they've gone a little bit more tactical and a little bit more this and that. But Liverpool, you know, we responded fantastically well on the weekend at home to Fulham. After the disappointments of midweek, we've had another disappointment. We'll play well, by the way. You know, we've played a huge part of that game where we could have scored many, many goals. Our XG was right up there, 21 attempts at goal. I would say that we go there, and what an unbelievable game to go to and be our next one. And we can go there and we can challenge. Yes, Everton will try and make it as uncomfortable as possible, but Liverpool can go there full of thinking that we've got 6 cup finals left that we want to play in the Champions League next year.
Well, that's it, Phil, isn't it? That's the bare minimum, that we play in this competition again next year.
Absolutely, and that's the only thing we've got to go for now, Champions League. The results have been great over the weekend. Even the Man United result last night goes in our favour there. Only 3 points ahead of us there in third place. So there's all to play for. We've got a difficult run in. but it gives you something to aim for, and you've got to make sure that you're ready. You want to reproduce again. If you're worth your salt, you're ready for these games. And I'd be loving to go to the Hill Dickinson at the weekend.
And Jay, that battling atmosphere we saw tonight have to be replicated, won't it, on Sunday?
Of course it will do. You know, that's first and foremost, because like you say, Everton fans are going to try and make it hostile. They'll probably try and put it on us straight from the off, knowing that we've played midweek. They'll think that we're tired. But I'm sure, you know, with the squad, let's hope the injuries aren't too bad leading into the weekend. But we've got to go there and put it back onto them, and with our quality, hopefully win the game.
That's it from tonight's episode of The Reaction. We'll be back on Sunday after Liverpool's first trip to the Hill Dickinson Stadium to take on Everton in the Premier League. Until then, if you haven't already, please give us a follow to make sure you don't miss an episode. Bye for now.